Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Paul Sundberg, the Executive Director of the Swine Health Information Center. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Sundberg.
My pleasure, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
The Swine Health Information Center has released its domestic and global swine disease surveillance reports for August. First of all, what were the highlights of the domestic swine disease monitoring report?
Well, of course, with PERS being of interest for everybody, I'll start with the PERS report, Bruce. Overall, the cases that come into the diagnostic labs for PERS during July was about the same as those that were reported in June. So that's fairly steady, fairly level, about the same quantity. And that's good news. It's at a spot where you would expect it to be. Now, during the summer, with warm weather, we usually have a dip in PERS incidence during this time of year. So it's a seasonal dip, and that's a good thing. However, we also look at the data more granularly than just reporting national data, and we look at regional data in the U.S. as well. Nebraska, Missouri, and Indiana have had significant outbreaks of PERS. And the Missouri and Nebraska data show that, those outbreaks are primarily the 1441C, Lion 1C variant that has been causing some infection. That's been a troubling one to take off of some farms. It seems to be more persistent on some farms, and it gives some more severe clinical outcomes than some others. So I think the issue with PERS, Bruce, is that while we have overall a summer incidence that would be within the bounds, it's always a very important issue, no matter where you are as a producer, to have communication with those around you and to understand what's happening locally and to communicate with other producers and other veterinarians around you, because that will help to inform you of what's happening locally and helping the producer to be better prepared to prevent an infection on their farms.
What are the implications of the situation in Nebraska, Missouri, and Indiana for the rest of the country and for a potential increase in problems with PERS?
You know that PERS can spread rather easily. It certainly can be spread aerosolized through the air from one farm to another, as well it can be tracked from one farm to another. So these outbreaks, these regional outbreaks in Nebraska, Missouri, and Iowa, and I would offer also especially the 1-4-4 Lion 1C that has happened in Missouri and Nebraska, should be concerning for other areas of the country. We can't rest on our laurels if you're not in Nebraska, Missouri, or Indiana. You can't rest and say, well, it's low summer here, so we're good. This is in preparation for the fall and for the winter seasons. We have to make sure that we do everything we can to decrease as much as possible the regional infections, because doing so will help keep down those spikes that we can expect once the barns get closed up during the cold weather.
What are we seeing with regards to influenza A virus, and what are the factors there?
Yeah, influenza A is one of the etiologies that we just started tracking in the swine domestic disease reports. And the overall cases of influenza in July were about the same, maybe even a moderate decrease from what we saw in June. So that's good news. However, one of the things that we do is we have an advisory group that looks at this data, looks at all the data from about PERS, about PED, about influenza that we're reporting on, and we get on-the-ground analysis. And what's your perspective of this data based on what you're seeing out in the field? And our advisory group this time highlighted the potential of these influenza cases because they're happening over the summer. And that's a rather unusual thing that they happen over the summer. Usually they're very low over the summer. And as we come into late summer and early fall, that can be a concern for our producers and our health of our herds. So there have been rather mild clinical presentations that have happened through July, but this is something to be aware of and something to talk to the veterinarians about with biosecurity and prevention of this infection over the coming months.
What are we seeing happening on the global front?
So internationally, there's a couple of things I think that are important to highlight. One is the movement of ASF and this skipping of ASF from one area of the world to another, from one country to another, or within countries. ASF skipped from Eastern Germany, where it's in wild boar, as well as in domestic pigs in Eastern Germany, and across the country to Western Germany by France and Northwest Germany by the Netherlands. That skipping is an important issue. Also in Italy, it skipped from Eastern Europe down to Northwestern Italy, and as well skipped within Italy from Northwest Italy down to Central Italy by Rome. The skipping thing is a big concern because that's an illustration of the movement of the virus, not by pigs, not from pig contact, not from wild boar movement, but it's by people moving the virus from one place to another. And that's an important lesson we have to learn, that moving virus from one place to another by people, probably by product, infected product. While pork is not a health issue for people at all, if a pig comes in contact with a pork product that comes from an animal that had viremia, it could infect those new pigs that come in contact with that product. And it looks like that's what's happening. Some good news along that front is in the Dominican Republic. One of the things that USDA has set up and is helping the Dominican Republic with is the Dominican Republic's program to do pre-clearance monitoring for both people and product moving from the island to other areas via airlines and ships. And the Dominican Republic has seized about 10,000 pounds of illegal pork products that were destined mainly for the U.S. That's a good thing. I mean, it's a bad thing that it's there, that those pork products are there, but it's a very good thing that we caught them before they were moved. And that's a very strength of this program. One of the other things as far as international disease, Bruce, that I want to bring up is the detection of FMD viral particles in products in Australia, even in markets in Australia. That may be an issue for the spread of FMD, and Australia is very high alert for that type of risk. We in the US don't test products routinely for either FMD or ASF because the USDA, when they seize illegal pork products, they automatically assume that those pork products are infected or contaminated with a foreign animal disease of any type, and they destroy them. So we don't do those types of detections, those types of tests to see if those products may be contaminated. Australia does. Australia has found FMD. It's not an indication that FMD is infective. They have done PCR testing and have found viral particles. So we don't know the level of infectivity, but it is another illustration of the continued risk that we're all under from the movement of these types of diseases around the world.
What are the recommendations for pork producers in North America with regards to both of these developments, both ASF and FMD? And what should producers be focusing on?
Focus on your farms. for the U.S. And the respective agencies in Canada do the same thing, that USDA and Customs and Border Protection work hard in putting up the walls around the country, inspecting, seizing illegal product, trying to prevent the entry of ASF or FMD into the country. They do as best they can do with the resources that they have. But we have to be realistic in the expectation that ASF or FMD may be able to get through that wall that we try to put around the borders of the country. And if those viruses get through that, and if they make their way into the country, if they don't get to pigs, they don't cause infection in pigs. And so that's an issue of the producer needing to be a partner with their federal agencies. They are just as much responsible for the protection of the whole industry as is USDA and Customs and Border Protection. They need to be a partner. And that means looking at your biosecurity protocols and procedures for any type of international contact, not just if you have international visitors, but talking to your feed supplier about where your feed comes from. Does the feed components that you get, that you use on the farm, come from areas of the world that may be positive for ASF or FMD, for example? And are there alternatives to that? Do your workers or do your service people have international contacts, visitors that are relatives that may be sending them pork products illegally, but with goodwill, sending them pork products that they may be able to bring onto your farm? Those types of international contacts and procedures and policies to prevent pork products from coming onto your farm, for example, to look at all types of feed or international contacts is really important for a producer. And I can't emphasize enough how important that piece is to be a partner with our federal and state agencies in preventing the introduction of either ASF or FMD.
And is there anything you would like to add?
I'd like to add, Bruce, that these international reports and as well as the domestic report are both available online at swinehealth.org. If people would like to see them, they come out once a month. And they come out as part of our newsletter as well. And on swinehealth.org, if people would like to sign up for our newsletter, it will be automatically delivered to your inbox the first part of the month. So it's a good way to stay informed, not only about the disease reporting, both domestically and internationally, but also about other things that are going on with the Swine Health Information Center and our mission of being prepared for emerging disease.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the opportunity, Bruce. It's always good to visit with you.
Our guest has been Dr. Paul Sundberg, the Executive Director of the Swine Health Information Center. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.